week of March 19th, 2017. My name is Justin D. Hurd.
My name is Nathan Steinman.
And this is our second podcast in a row. It's fucking crazy.
What's happened? What happened to the world?
I don't know. I mean,
you got sick.
I got sick. I got better. I got sick again. I'm still having over 200 migraines a year, though. I am
like you do.
Yeah, but now I am seeing a pain management doctor. So,
oh yay! That's excellent.
I actually get a steady influx of the pills that I do need.
So you're not just crumpled over, going, "Oh my fucking god." I can't even read.
Well, the issue, I've started having another one of those multi-day migraines where it's for those people that have chronic pain that know this feeling, but it's the feeling where you suddenly know you've passed the point where you should have taken pills because the pain just intensifies. You know, it's where...
I'm not looking at my wife sitting over there reading or anything.
Yeah. But it's that moment where
you're
taking the pills because of the pain, and you're like, okay, I'm good for a while, and then suddenly it hits you, and it only gets worse, and you know you need to have taken pills 30 minutes beforehand, but you didn't, so now you're fucked for the next hour. So that's kind of where I've been at recently. So before that, I was having issues where my doctor actually refused to give me more pills or see me or treat me, and no doctor would. So I was like, okay, cool, I'm completely fucked at this moment.
I'm not a fucking addict, I'm in real pain,
right?
There's a difference.
and the moment that 72 day migraine was done, I stopped taking pills immediately, had no side effects, and never actually, no rebounding.
You're taking it for pain.
Yeah,
it's a totally different world than the normal addictive realm.
Oh yeah,
you know,
it's not the people who take 10 of them just to get,
just to get through a day at work because they're fucking junkies,
right? It's oh no, there's the pain. Okay, cool. I need to take some stuff. Cool, thanks. Okay, thanks. Bye. But yeah, so surviving all that good stuff,
and now you have good part about the pain management, you've started the YouTube channel. Yay!
Yeah.
Consumption of the dubious. I'm sorry, dubious consumption.
Yeah, fired. I actually just changed the name of the tagline instead of staring into the media void, staring into the endless media void. So that it was missing a word in there.
Yeah. Well, we fixed it from the other one, but.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing I honestly have to say about it is. And I forgot about this from whenever I used to do anime music videos, is that it takes a long time to edit these videos together. Like, surprisingly so.
I've not done near the dip into editing that my writing partner has taken recently as far as doing video. But yeah, there's so many elements to think of.
Timing, movement, all everything.
Also, where do sounds begin? Where do sounds end?
I am folding ideas. Just had a thing on basic editing,
which I feel like I'm gonna start showing that video to everybody I know.
I mean,
it
was an awesome thing. Most of the things I knew about, the two I didn't know about, which makes sense, and I recognize them. I just didn't know their names were J and L cuts.
Yeah,
and I actually ended up using that in the Daybreakers
video. Split. You actually there's a direct the J cut where the sound goes into the edit. There's one of those very clear ones. When you first see the psychologist, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I ended up actually doing that in my Daybreakers video as well, where, totally just completely cut, use the sound first, cut into it, did it perfectly. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I actually know what the fuck this is now.
Oh, this is effective tool.
Actually, I think with the same clip, I used a J and an L cut. So,
wow.
Did you
get a little editing boner?
Oh, every day. No, the editing boner I got was, as stupid as it is, using a dissolve.
I can't wait to try and do superimpositions.
It's, you know, the part of my video was him talking about how he was trying not to look at the blood banks because it's literally humans set up like cattle being drained for their blood, and it's showing him, you know, kind of looking down and walking away, and then dissolves into a shot of just a human's chest breathing on there, and then cuts to the collar around their neck where blood is, you know, they've got,
they're being drained,
they're being drained of their blood and everything. But I just love that shot of him walking away, and then it just showing, you know, the human's chest breathing in, taking in and breathing out.
That's also an aspect cut. Yeah, you're getting this, it's storytelling.
Yeah,
but it's using two unrelated things to connect a thought in your head.
Yeah, and but it was just one of those, just like every time I've watched it, still, it still kind of gives me a little bit of chills, because the movie doesn't do that. They just use jump cuts to just, okay, cut, move, cut, move. And it's like, okay, cool, whatever. This, that's actually some storytelling there rather than just establishing the world.
Whoops. You're setting people up for something that's not in the film.
Exactly. So,
tricky,
I mean,
fuck.
That's one of the things I do miss about doing music videos from back in the day, was just being able to impart that stuff or take an aspect of the film and,
well,
tweak,
I think
it.
It's like your obsession with fan edits.
You know, exactly.
The type of creativity that goes into a fan edit, you know, is just as interesting sometimes as what a filmmaker put in as far as their creativity.
Right.
Even though technically it's still repurposing, you know.
Right. Well, the YouTube channel is called Dubious Consumption. I've done two videos so far, Yellow Brick Road and Daybreakers, both kind of plot reviews plus analyses. Really, it's where they went wrong, as we've talked about on previous episodes, because there's a lot of films that they're awesome movies, except for like one major aspect that just kind of fucks them over. So that's not all I'm going to do, but that's what I've been doing so far. But kind of speaking on that fan edit thing, I was literally like, ooh, I should do an episode over The Tourist, and then go, no, The Tourist is completely all bad. But it would be interesting to do a fan edit that changes the way the story is told to actually make it an interesting movie.
And turn it back into a good movie.
Yeah, to try and make it a good movie in the first place. Yeah. But I don't know.
But I just meant taking the same raw material and seeing what type of movie you can make out of it.
Yeah, because not jumping in at all with the Tourist starts at the wrong place. It gives you way too much information at the very beginning, and should literally start with him sitting down, or with the lead, with Angelina Jolie sitting down with him on the train and their witty banter back and forth. Like, it does not need to start before that, but because it does start before that, it tells you the entire plot and lets you know that she is using him to try and trick the police, and that the police know that she's trying to trick them. And it's just like, why the fuck do we need this information? So, no, it would not be a good YouTube episode, but it might be a good, an interesting experiment to try and whittle it down and make it into
it. It might be an interesting exercise to make a fan edit and then show a specific scene. The versions compare and kind of,
right, right. It.
Like, this is what I did with it, as opposed to, and this also builds this, and you could see, like,
well, I mean, and even then, you can. That's part. I do plan on at some point to do kind of review / comparisons of fan edits to the original, and go, okay, so this is what the original intent of the film was. This is what we got. This fan edit restores that, or it tweaks it to make it this. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's been the major thing I'm working on. I'm actually getting back into writing because of it.
Yay, writing.
Not even joking. What have you been working on, Nathan?
As many the people who actually listen to the podcast and are on the Facebook page know, friends of mine, we made a short film.
What?
Yeah, we made a short film, a 20-minute short called Bean Flute. We have a rough cut that we premiered at a Quentin Tarantino-themed art show.
As you do.
It's very much an homage to Nicholas Winding Refn, David Lynch, There's even some Coen Brothers, some heavy Tarantino influences, mostly because we were a part of this art show and we wanted to
figure out a way to actually get it into the art show.
Well, it was going to be there. They were the Sad Boys, which is a local comedy group. They were asked to do another short because they did a short last time called Wanksy for the Banksy themed show.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they were asked to do another short, and then this became the project, and the project expanded. We went through 5 drafts of the script, so some improv on the set, and lots of setbacks. I gained a newfound respect for people who even make shitty movies, because it's really difficult to make something, much less make something good.
Well, you know, I guess to be completely honest, that's part of the reason why we haven't been able to do a podcast for a while, not only because you're too busy working on this.
Yeah, for literally 2 months, all of my time that wasn't at work or with my wife was on this film.
But the other reason is because just as I was starting my YouTube channel, they needed to borrow certain pieces of equipment from me.
The lighting kit that he bought to start his YouTube channel,
as well as
podcast equipment,
yeah,
that we thought we were going to use for audio that we didn't end up using for audio. Sorry about that.
It's all good, but it's just one of those kind of fun things where it's like, okay, cool, yeah, you can totally borrow that. When are we doing the podcast again? March sometime, maybe?
This is like mid-January that we're... Or early January, we're talking. Yeah. It was setbacks, scheduling issues, days where shoots were going to happen, then didn't happen. Cancellations, took too much time to film what we were going to film. There's a scene that we had at a storage unit. Got the storage unit. First time we went to the storage unit, my dumbass had forgotten to go to the storage unit and put my lock on the fucking door. So they still had their lock on the door.
Congratulations.
So we lost half a day of shooting that way. But when we did shoot it, we had very limited time frames. And we did as many fucking shots as possible. Yeah. I mean, we were, even though it took 2 months, we were probably maybe shooting 2 days a week at the max, you know. Sometimes 3 days a week, and that's me getting off work and going and shooting and then going home. You know, getting off at 11, getting home at 2. Yeah, it was a lot of, there was a lot of work, and we got a version of it done, and we're gonna move on from there. So
congratulations.
There is the possibility of submitting it for future film festivals, and there will be most likely future screenings that I will talk about here on the podcast.
Nice.
I made something, guys. It's kind of exciting. It's the first thing I've ever directed. I never thought I was going to be a director. Like, yeah. What a weird world we live in. So that's what we've been up to outside of the podcast, and that's I'm hoping to, since we have all these people kind of at our disposal in some ways and shapes and forms, maybe they will, certain people will appear on the podcast in the future. No promises, but we're going to try and not just be the two of us most of the time. Skylar will be back. Skylar will be back, definitely.
Yeah, he is a father now, so that kind of makes things a little bit more difficult, as you know, from back whenever I had, you know, fresh kids.
Well, and a fresher kid than one, fresher kid than the other.
Right.
The famous Sloan picture.
So, now we're going to talk a little bit about just, you know, kind of upcoming films that we're interested in that, you know, have kind of piqued our interest.
So coming up, first up, the Belko Experiment.
You know, I'm kind of, I don't know, I am looking forward to it. It, you know, I don't know.
I'm kind of more intrigued by the actors involved than anything else. They're all character actors.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically really Suicide Squad, but it's Cabin in the Woods meets Suicide Squad.
It's Cabin in the Woods meets Battle Royale.
I mean, that too.
But, more than Suicide Squad, really. And James Gunn writing, and it's the first Orion Pictures release in over 10 years or something. For those of you that don't know, Orion in the 80s and 90s was quite a big production house. The movie that we talked about a couple podcasts ago, which is months ago now, but Iron Eagle that I talked about, that was an Orion release. I'm intrigued. Then next, T2, Trainspotting.
Still haven't seen the original.
You still haven't seen it. Jesus.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
It is based on the sequel that Irvin Welsh wrote, Porno, but it is also an adaptation of the differences between the movie and the book, as well as just also the actors being older and what their lives have been like. Have you heard about a movie called Wilson, Justin?
I haven't.
So Daniel Klaus wrote a graphic novel called Wilson. He was watching over his father as he was dying in the hospital, and he started writing this story about a super misanthropic character named Wilson. And the graphic novel is very interesting because each strip is a page, and each page is a different colorization, a different kind of artistic influence, a different kind of artistic style. And it changes a lot throughout the narrative. Where this seems like it's like an indie movie that stars Woody Harrelson and Laura Dern.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we've got Ghost in the Shell coming out.
Still not sure how I feel about that. I mean, the biggest thing I have to say is I'm probably going to see it in theaters just to make sure that stuff like this comes out and that they are like, yeah, there's the claims of whitewashing, but at the same point, she's supposed to be a out of place.
Yeah, and I still need
Android draw. Yeah, a out of place.
She's been completely replaced too. So
she's an out of place doll in the society.
I'm intrigued to see what they do. This last trailer, and most of the time I don't watch past like trailer one for movies, because usually even trailer one you're like, God damn it, you give too much away. But I've already seen Ghost in the Shell and Ghost in the Shell 2, so I was like, I know that there's a different, the puppet master from Standalone Complex is in it, as opposed to the villain from the first anime. But I'm intrigued to see what they do with the story and what they do with the whole existential exploration of what if androids really were people,
right?
You know, and I'm also intrigued to see if she never blinks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I really want to know if she never blinks. But this last trailer, I was like, okay, I'm all in.
My mother saw the last trailer and went, oh, what is this Ghost in the Shell? So now she has borrowed the Blu-ray for the original Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it. I haven't rewatched it in a long time. Then another movie, I just showed Justin the trailer for this, The Void, which apparently the same guys made a movie called Manborg. I've never seen it. I heard about this movie because of Jay Bowman from Red Letter Media had posted it on Twitter. I watched the trailer and was like, okay, this looks fucking weird and fucked up, and I think I'm in. And one of the tagline reviews is pure cosmic dread, and I knew Justin had to know about this movie existing.
Yeah, couple that I'm looking forward to are actually the big release of Your Name by Makoto Shinkai, which he's the guy who did Voices of a Distant Star, Place Promised in Our Early Days, 5 centimeters per second. He's been known as the next Miyazaki. You know, he's the person that he does anime, but he's the person I show to people who do not like anime.
Yeah.
Because he uses the old Disney technique of rotoscoping to create these absolutely lifelike.
Well, and also just his use of light and editing is just gorgeous.
This one is a body switch movie between a boy and a girl that, if I remember right, they do not know each other. They just wake up one day in each other's bodies.
Interesting.
And have to learn about... It's basically a romantic drama about them learning about each other through, you know, living a day in their lives and then meeting, you know, finding each other and, you know, basically falling in love with each other through, you know, context clues, essentially. I'm also really looking forward to Life.
I am so nervous about that movie.
I honestly, if it's a sci-fi horror movie,
you're probably going
to
see it.
I'm going to see it. It's probably going to be shit. There is not a good track record with those.
Well, and also it basically looks like Alien meets the Martian.
Or Species.
Yeah.
You know, it's that same sort of... It's
well, with
like,
less sex.
You don't know that.
I know, but from the trailer, they're not playing up the sex aspect like they did in Species.
As they should. I don't know.
You want to see more of that Ryan Reynolds butt?
Yeah. Also, there's a movie coming out called It Comes at Night.
Way down the road.
It's before... it's in June.
Oh, probably. I was thinking of, never mind.
It Comes at Night is one of the more... it's a new one from A24.
Yeah, it's going to be their first release of the year, but one of their bigger releases this year.
Yeah, it just kind of looks like a kind of horror movie, kind of post-apocalyptic, possibly zombie infection related. Not quite sure what it is, but it's another one of those that... repeats the same phrase over and over in the trailer and with varying degrees of delivery to kind of amp up the tension. So, looks interesting. I still don't think I've come across a bad A24 movie.
I mean, I haven't seen all of them, so I can't say if I... Now, speaking of A24, there's a little Ben Wheatley movie called Free Fire coming out.
Also another A24 that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, Brie Larson, Charlton Copley. I mean, it's got a cast of good actors to character actors who are really good. And it looks like a locked room 1970s shoot 'em up kind of movie.
Yep.
And I'm wondering how grindcore it's going to be because it's Ben Wheatley. Have you heard about The Circle at all?
Honestly, it just looks like Antitrust, updated for the modern day.
Oh, I've never seen Antitrust.
That was a Ryan Phillippe, like 2001.
Sure, that was an excellent performance.
It was a
Ryan Phillippe performance.
Doesn't
he have that weird funky pronunciation where it's Ryan Phillippe or something?
I don't fucking know, but it was a weird kind of Microsoft analog where Tim Robbins basically plays a sinister Bill Gates.
Where this is more Apple / Facebook.
Right.
/ NSA.
Yeah, so it just kind of... Who knows if it's actually going to be the same? I'm interested.
I'm interested just because it's Dave Eggers. He wrote a novel and he's the co-screenwriter. And Tom Hanks has taken quite the interest in David Eggers' writing because he made a movie called The Hologram for the King out of one of his novels last year. And I think The Circle was supposed to come out in November, but now it's coming out in April, which kind of denotes it might be better than they were thinking it was going to be, but not good enough to go up against the holiday kind of traffic.
I know this is going to be on your list, but the kind of elephant in the room is going to be Alien Covenant.
I was almost there.
Yeah.
I tried to go in release date order.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, I made like a list with the release date next to them.
Nah, who does that?
People who like the organization, I don't know.
Yeah, no. You know, it looks pretty. So did Prometheus.
One of the screenwriters of Logan is one of the screenwriters. And I think also it might be the same. No, it's not the same director of photography. But the same screenwriter, Michael Green, he's also attached to Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it looks pretty. Who knows? But my biggest.
Did you see the prologue?
I did watch the prologue.
James Franco reveal was surprising.
Yeah, but he's not the captain in the movie. In the prologue, he is.
Yeah.
But in the movie, it's Dr. Manhattan.
Billy Crudup.
Yeah, Billy Crudup is the captain.
Well, he's in the prologue. Billy Crudup.
He is, but he's not the captain. So
something happens in the cryo sleep.
But for me, the biggest negative I have to say for it is that they took the subtext of the alien or the xenomorph being a sexual creature and made it full on text with the shower scene.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how it plays in the movie. I'm still probably gonna go see it.
I mean, I'll definitely see it. I still enjoyed Prometheus. It's, you know, watching the fan edit of Prometheus where they actually went and redid CG and actually made it a xenomorph.
Or reading the script and going, oh, this is actually a fucking alien movie.
Well, yeah, before they lostified it.
Well, yeah, before they pumped up the religious text to the complete foreground.
Well, I can't remember the name of the writer for
John Spates
for Prometheus.
John Spates and then Damon Lindelof.
It was Lindelof. Yeah. Lindelof was the issue, yeah. Is because I mean he full on made it a Lost style. You know, oh, here's more questions than answers.
Yeah,
and we're gonna make sure the characters are all idiots instead. You know, so it's just like if Lindelof
has no hand in this.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's going to be better because there's no Lindelof on it, but
I'm intrigued to see how it plays out. I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad, but I'm intrigued. And The Martian kind of gives me hope for Ridley Scott, so I'm more intrigued.
I just know Ridley Scott has a hang-up about cutting down his movies too much so that the director's cuts are actually the ones we want to watch.
Well, he's obsessed with pacing.
Well,
that's literally what they said about. I can't remember who it was. It was one of the actors or one of the producers on Prometheus talked about how he's obsessed with pacing. So the movie doesn't move quick enough.
Well, the problem, what happened is that it may be an apocryphal story, but he was at a showing and a couple of stoners were sitting in front of him and complained about how slow the movie was. No, I can't remember which movie it was, but I know it's affected everything, you know, from Kingdom of Heaven on. Wow. That he cuts out all the stuff trying to make them faster because he's worried people are bored, and then they later come out with the director's cuts, like in Kingdom of Heaven.
Except they never came out with a director's cut of Prometheus. Just
right.
Just something with extra scenes.
Right. But what I'm saying, they came out with a bunch of, you know, but they do, on most of his movies, come out with an extended or director's cut that is vastly superior because he's too insecure about what he's doing.
Yeah, I can understand.
So it's one of those that I'm like, okay, it could be decent. The one criticism I did just see on it is that in the trailer we already see a CG alien or CG xenomorph in full daylight on the ship trying to break in, so there's no mystery to it.
But we also don't know the context of that scene, so...
But it's still putting a xenomorph in a trailer in full daylight.
I know, but also... That's literally what people are paying to see, is to see the fucking xenomorph.
That still doesn't mean that it...
I'm not saying... That also could not even fucking be in the movie. Because it's fucking trailers.
Yeah,
Could not be in the movie. That could be a fucking test footage thing that looked really good. And so the trailer company cut it in, and it could not be in the movie at all.
Yeah, I don't have that
faith. I don't have that faith either. I'm just saying, like... But, so Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything to say about it. I expect it's going to be good.
I'm kind of getting hyped for it.
I mean, the biggest thing I can say for it is that they've switched the cameras that they're using, so it's not that same kind of dull,
image. Even Guardians of the Galaxy 1 isn't near as flat as most of the other.
It is still pretty flat compared to this new footage.
Well, but this is also the second movie that's completely Marvel Studios and no interference from the Marvel publisher. So this is the first time we're getting a Guardians of the Galaxy movie without restrictions as far as style. And I think, I don't know, based on what I'm seeing from their Thor Ragnarok release, I think this is the first Thor movie that's probably going to be a lot more people are going to enjoy.
The issue with the Thor movies is that they were both written by the same guy. Obviously, he died since. But they were essentially the same script, just slight variations on a theme. So, I mean, personally, I'm one of the weird people that actually like Dark World.
I liked parts of Dark World. But I remember going back and watching Thor again after many years of not watching it and really just enjoying the shit out of it. So,
yeah, for me, Thor is the weakest of the...
Hulk, for me, is the weakest. The Incredible Hulk one with Norton is the weakest. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And then the only other movie I wanted to mention, this brings us up to June, is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Midnight's Edge has had some issues with it recently, so...
Yeah, I've been kind of staying away from the scuttlebutt about it.
Yeah, as far as I know, Midnight's Edge has just kind of said, hey, there's issues with it. There's people, talking about the different cuts. Kind of similar to along the lines of what we heard about Suicide Squad and Justice League and Ghostbusters. Yeah, so same thing as everything else. Like, it's trailers make it look good, but possible issues, but take those with a
pinch of salt. We'll see if the story's any good, and that's really going to be... That's the thing about Wonder Woman, is like the effects look really good, the style looks there, but like we don't know what the real final story is going to be from the final cut
of right.
the movie. So,
yeah, let's hope that they take a cue from Captain America, but who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? They don't seem to be taking lessons from anything else.
They seem to be taking lessons of... Well, that made a bunch of money.
Yeah, I think alternately they're trying to go, well, let's not do what they did.
Let's not do what anybody else is doing. Let's do our own thing, but not do it very well.
Right. So it doesn't give me much hope for the movie. So
yeah, let's just hope there's not the fucking extended edition problem like you're even talking about with Alien Covenant. Because we've had that problem with both Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad of like, there's a bunch of extra footage, there's a whole movie, there's a blah 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 blah. And then
Suicide Squad I think is like 10 minutes of extra footage. And
yeah, but the rumor mill was there's literally a whole another fucking movie of shit that they shot.
Yeah, but they didn't release that. No. There's up apparently like maybe 2 minutes of the 10 minutes is extra Joker footage. So it's not what people were hoping for, which was, hey, let's
get
the
Joker cut, basically.
Right.
Let's see if this is any good. Please show us if it was any good. Oh, you didn't. Okay. But I think that's the end of the upcoming movie talk.
So, Nathan, what have you been consuming recently?
Well, it's been a little bit since I read it, because I read it when we were shooting the movie. But I read a comic book memoir, or graphic memoir, called Rosalie Lightning. And it's by one of my favorite kind of minimal kind of comic book artists. His name's Tom Hart. And it's about him and his wife dealing with the sudden death of their 2-year-old.
Nice light subject.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, the most fascinating thing about it is it is so deeply intertextual. It uses images from movies, cartoons, comic books, his own comic strips earlier. There's all these images and lines and references to things, and he got, I mean, and they got it approved, because I mean, it's a there's references to Miyazaki, and there's references to people who don't normally give you know permission to you. And even though it was fair use, he was redrawing the image, it's still surprising that it was cleared and able to be published throughout the world, with the kind of intertextual references that he's doing, and just fucking brutally powerful, obviously, you know. It's also a lot about memory and a lot about life. And he had written a comic almost two decades ago that I read about in Wizard Magazine called The Sands. And it's this 3-part story, and each one, it experiments more with how the narrative is told. Well, he reuses the imagery of the like bug collector and the guy who drives the raft down the river as other character, as himself, as a way of symbolizing himself, and also a recurring dream. And there's also this whole subplot of like they had moved to New York in the 90s and had bought a condo, basically, and they're literally their child's died, they've moved to Florida, and they can't sell the condo, and they're just being driven insane by having to deal with this, like, and it's just fantastic. It was easily one of the best graphic novels of 2016. It's not a light read, but it's beautiful. It's just beautiful in the complicated web of media and references and philosophy, but it's also like him searching through that stuff, trying to find himself again, trying to find new meaning, trying to find who are you, you know, when you're not you become a parent, now you're not a parent anymore. And it's just completely fascinating and just completely just heart-wrenching, and it's like, But it's honest. It's not like emotionally manipulative or anything. Or it's like, hey, this is like literally him working through it, you know, as opposed to like some people could possibly see this as like, this is exploitive of your dead child, where this does not feel exploitive at all. You know, it feels like a person telling this story they had to tell in order to move on.
I was going to say, the only people I could say that would say something like that would probably be internet, comment trolls.
Yeah, but I mean, I could easily see someone looking at it as that, just because we have people in our society that would do shit like that, you know. They're usually psychopaths and criminals, but, you know, there have been people who have done really horrible shit and take advantage of their children in ways, so, you know, but utterly fantastic, utterly heartbreaking. It's one of those books I'm going to give to Skyler in like 10 years. that's all I was going to talk about. What have you been consuming, Justin?
Oh, the other thing that I've watched recently was A Cure for Wellness. It's the new Gore Verbinski movie.
The director of three of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
He also did The Ring. I think he may have actually done Rings, the short film that they did afterwards. That one was freaking awesome. He also did Rango, The Lone Ranger. He's known for kind of doing intertwining cosmic horror into his stuff.
Yeah.
So it should come as no surprise that A Cure for Wellness, which is a thriller, includes some very strong cosmic horror hints.
It seemed very surreal from the trailer.
It definitely has that. Honestly, also from the trailer, it seemed like it was taking place in like the 1940s or 1960s. It's modern day.
Oh, it's not like a No Time.
No, it's like it starts out with a guy and basically on the stock exchange dealing with a whole bunch of stuff on a computer screen, and he gets an old fashioned letter with a wax seal, picks it up, goes to open it, then is back on the computer, and then he dies from a heart attack. And the whole premise of it is stars Dane DeHaan as this kind of guy who just got promoted to a corner office at this corporation. He's pulled in for a partner meeting, and they go, "Hey, you've been doing some illegal shit." And he goes, "Well, if
we all are, aren't we?"
Well, he basically just kind of goes, "Well, if you guys were going to report me, you would have done so already. I wouldn't be sitting in this meeting. So what's going on?" And they go, "Oh, well, this partner's kind of lost his mind. He's at this retreat. We need you to bring him back because we're going through a merger and he has to sign off." So they send him to this, I think it's in the Alps, this old castle that's now become this wellness center for, rich socialites who are getting away from their day-to-day. Goes there, meets with the guy, plans to get him out, and as they're driving away, he gets into a car accident and breaks his leg and gets trapped there. And they start treating him, and things get super weird and spiral out of control. I mean, there's such this kind of overtones of cosmic or existential dread that as he's driving up, they're talking about how the castle's been around for hundreds of years, and the royal family the patriarch of it decided the only way to continue the family bloodline was through his sister. And the night that they were married, the townspeople revolted and went up and broke in and burned his sister alive and burned the castle to the ground. And the gate has eels on it intertwined. And, it's just all this I'm totally getting this vibe. And it falls away after that. But everybody's just way too happy to stay there. Whenever the businessman is convinced to leave, he kind of disappears after that. After the car accident, Dane DeHaan tries to find him. He's progressed to the next stage of, you talking to him about business actually set him off. So he's actually progressed to the next stage. The thing I would say about it is that it's another one of those, it's a 2.5 hour long movie. It could have been cut by 30 minutes. There are certain segments of it that just repeat. Like, it actually does the rookie mistake of actually repeating this thing in thirds, or repeating it three times to kind of really drive it home.
That's called the rule of thirds.
Right, but it's not a literal thirds. It doesn't have to be repeated three times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There just has to be set up and payoff.
Right. So what? There's a segment where it's late at night. He's woken up. by the sound of his toilet, the whatever the lever to flush it is rattling. And he walks over to it and he puts his finger on it and stops. And he looks out the window and he sees weird shit. Happens a second time. Happens a third time. The third time he does it, it starts rattling again. So he then does the obvious thing and pulls the top of the back tank, and there's tons of eels in it. And so he falls back and drops the lid, and when he looks back, there's no eels in there. So he looks in the toilet and he sees an eel going through the down the pipe. So he rips the toilet off of it. You know, it's just like, you could have done that in one scene. We didn't need three repetitions of it that take 2 to 5 minutes each. There is also just, there's one scene I want to mention because of how fucking weirdly kinky, like how weird it is. Like, he is in basically a sensory deprivation tank.
Okay.
And they tell him, hey, you might experience hallucinations, but we've got a guy watching you. And so he's in this tank, floating in there with the oxygen mask on.
Yeah.
And eels start showing up. But while he's doing that, the guy is sitting over there, says, hey, you know, this takes about 30 minutes, but I'll be watching you. And he's reading a book. A nurse with no bra comes in, proceeds to unbutton her smock and stand there while the guard masturbates in front of her. While eels start appearing in the water and actually pulling the tube out and trying to drown Dane DeHaan. And you're just, eventually, they'll just kind of cut over there. Like, he's pounding on the glass. You see the nurse is standing there with his back to him. And then it cuts to a close-up, and the guy's just masturbating behind the desk. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? The other really just small, weird thing, no spoilers, but at one point you see several men, older men and older women, floating in some tanks. All the men have underwear on. All the women are completely nude. And it's just like, what?
Why?
Why? Like,
you could have done where...
You could have just put underwear on the women.
Yeah, or everyone was completely naked.
Like, there's no reason for this. Overall...
Sounds like Gore Verbinski has some hang-ups.
It does. Jason Isaacs is awesome. He's the kind of the head doctor of this wellness center. Done really well. Everything pays off. As I said, it definitely has some kind of Lovecraftian overtones on it. You know, I would recommend it, but as I said, probably could use with about 30 minutes cut from the film.
There's too much. There's a good thing, and then there's too much of a good thing. And this is probably too much of a good thing.
It's just, if you had cut 30 minutes of it, it would be a great thing. But it drags the pacing down because they left it, you know, as opposed to like Batman v Superman. The extended cut's 30 minutes longer, but because it's actually
smoother.
Yeah, it's got smoother pacing. This goes, cool, you could have just trimmed out these scenes or, you know, really just kind of cut the way these are put together rather than belaboring the point. So, that's a cure for wellness.
Yeah.
So, Nathan, where can people...
We podcasted. Woo!
We did. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at Nate Wadd. And you can find me on the Facebook page, Dubious Consumers Facebook page, on the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks?
The face of the books.
Well, you can find me anywhere that Justin D. Hurd is found. Just Google it.
Anywhere. All the Justin D. Hurds are just Justin D. Hurd.
Yeah, the main page is justindhurd.net. And we do have a YouTube channel now called Dubious Consumption. So be sure to check that out.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah, like, share, and subscribe. And
we just did the cheesy YouTube ending.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what my thing is. Why you spend this next week sending out the smoke signals while you set fire to the hive, be sure to, you know, like, share, and subscribe.
Be sure to step on the eggs in the Alien Covenant trailer.
Not even joking. So, Nathan, do you have any final thoughts?
Maybe I do. Not sure. No.
Cool story, bro.